Today I have an interview with NAMI Far North folks, which is called the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And we have with us Don Mera and Program Director Gabe Custodio. Welcome and thanks for doing this interview with me today, because it's a very important organization in our community and we want to hear all about it. So thank you for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. So Don, we're going to start with you. Again, welcome, NAMI Far North. Tell us a little bit about who you are and why you're involved. I'm not sure if you're still the board president or what, but let's start there and then we'll get into what is NAMI, North National Alliance on Mental Illness, and why are we so fortunate to have a chapter up here in Sandpoint, North Idaho. So let's start with Don Mera.
Well, I will tell you that I've been a resident of Bonner County for over 35 years, started a veterinary practice here in 94, and I've now semi-retired into the world of nonprofits, and National Alliance on Mental Illness is kind of tugs at my heartstrings. 101 calories. And what it is the largest grassroots mental health organization in the United States. Its mission is to support and educate and advocate for people to improve their lives that are living with mental health issues and their families. I got involved because I have a family member that has a serious mental health condition, and until I found NAMI, it was like we were drowning and couldn't find help and resources in particular. And then the support, of course, from having this chronic situation in our household was just a turmoil for the family. So, of course, after finding them, I'm now their president because they kind of saved our lives.
How did you find NAMI?
It's just word of mouth. And that's one of the reasons I'm president, is really trying to let people know that we're here. It wasn't well branded. It's been around since 2007. But as a volunteer organization with no income coming in, you can imagine how hard it is to market NAMI. Plus, people that are involved with NAMI are either exhausted or they're in a crisis. So it's very difficult and challenging, excuse me, to figure it all out, how to get it out there.
I know there's a lot of statistics around how mental illness, how prevalent it is, the degree that it can get to, and how it really impacts our world and our families and things like
sure.
that.
Yeah. So the numbers are staggering. And first, I want to make sure everyone knows that mental illnesses are actually medical illnesses. You can't necessarily will them away in the same way that you think maybe a habit or behavioral change. So sometimes they can go away. And one in five of them in this county we serve, in the two counties we serve, is about 12,000 people. One in five experience some kind of mental health variety of problems along the way of their life. And then one in 20 are the ones that live with a serious one that kind of significantly interferes with their daily life. And NAMI Far North focuses especially on these individuals because of the turmoil it causes in their lives and the people around them. And that's the whole community, not just the family. And that's about 3,000 when we did the math. That's a lot of people.
Well, it's not just that they need help. It's that they're part of our community. And you can't deny that 3,000 out of whatever the total is a significant number that matters and that we care about. I mean, if someone next door has a family member, it affects me in the fact that I care about my neighbor.
Thank you.
So
it is a good point. It's the most important point.
And education and awareness, and that's what we're doing this interview about partly, and why you started NAMI Far North is, as you said, to get the word out and then to reach out and help those folks that may benefit.
Yeah, I think when you have someone that has a complete breakdown in your family, the structure of the family unit changes so much. And the grief and agony that happens after that is kind of just devastating. And so we want to make sure at NAMI that no one feels alone.
Well, that's another point too, besides helping the person with, as you said, it's a medical illness. It's making sure that the impact to the families can not only be mitigated but turned around.
Right, and we're talking about things like bipolar disease, which can have varying degrees of severity, chronic depression. Those are all so devastating. Mania, just in itself, schizophrenia, PTSD, anxiety, those are the ones that really get everyone. The thing about mental illnesses is they're called, NAMI calls them, they're not casserole illnesses, meaning when you get out of the hospital, you break your leg, people are bringing you food. When you get out of the hospital after a mental break, nobody's bringing you any casseroles. We
So
miss those.
true.
You can bring them now. You know where I live.
Right. That would help. I think what you're talking about is the impact to the families and to the individual that might be experiencing this often devastating illness, can be supported differently. And it's awareness that makes the change, and change is slow. And
Yes,
as
yes.
we know, we have a NAMI Far North up here in North Idaho.
Yeah, so we make people less isolated by offering a couple of things. So we have structured support groups, one for the families and several for the people living with a mental health condition. We also have a community health forum that we put on every month that has some kind of a mental health related public. The public is welcome to these topic the third Wednesday of every month at the VFW. And I'll go over who's coming next soon. And then we have education series, and that's our signature program for NAMI Far North. It's an 8 week or 4 week, depending on how often we hold the classes, free family class that deals with diagnosis and treatment and communication and coping. And we also have things like summer sailing with Dog Smiles. We try to coordinate with John on his sailing adventures in the summer if it's, yes. And we also do a lot of work for Orfino, the state hospital. We send them care packages. So when they leave the hospital, the patients, they have some goods to go with.
You know, any organization that is serving the community in such a large and vital way has, of course, the need for finances, has structure and its strong points. I'm just looking at your outline, and we're talking about it's volunteer-led, peer-led, people with lived experience lead or co-lead everything we do. That's a unique structure for an organization like that, that serves.
It is the best part of NAMI is the peer-led part because there's just so much wisdom in the room, no matter what room you're in, because we use everyone's wisdom.
And then volunteers.
Yes, that is a strength, and it's also a liability. We don't need to say any more about volunteers. We love them, but we need more.
I think well-trained and committed volunteers are not always easy to come by. You can do the training, but when you get them, you love them, and
Yes.
it makes a difference. Another thing I wanted to mention is recently we're talking about how this can come about. Just probably later we'll get to financing this or this endeavor, vital endeavor. But recently, I can't remember her name, but she was married to Jeff Bezos, and she gave a significant amount of money to NAMI.
Oh, gosh, who was
Yeah,
that?
I
Can't
want to say
remember her
Melinda Gates, but that's not it. But
name. Yeah.
that is that trickle down into your organization at all? or is it the
Not
national?
directly, but I really think the NAMI model is needed that and will reform with that because NAMI has the most updated psychological information out there right now. They try to keep up on everything. So that'll help them a lot. It will trickle down.
Okay. Well, there's a lot here on your outline. You have a strategic plan for NAMI Far North.
So right. And what happened with NAMI Far North is we recognized that there was a gap in our coverage of helping the community, and that was that we were improving the lives of families, which is great, but the people that live with mental illness weren't sitting in the room, and they weren't in the circle of our immediate direct help. So we felt like there was this amazing gap, and sure enough, there is a true gap in helping folks that live with mental illness. And it's not just providers and hospitals and all that. We all know about those shortages. But once you're lucky enough to get treatment, and this happened to our family member, there's nowhere to go after that. When you break your leg, you go to PT, but there's no BT for a brain injury or a brain challenge along the way in this county. And in many counties, I think we're missing this very, very important thing called psychosocial rehabilitation.
So you came up with what?
We came up with a model that was being used all over the world. We're so lucky to find it because not only are they successful data-driven, evidence-based practices that they use, but they are amazing mentors.
And so it's called Clubhouse.
Clubhouse International. And what Clubhouse International is taking that post-treatment person that's really doing okay, they're independent, but they're not out there. They're not back at work, maybe. And they really have lost their people, their connections, a safe place sometimes to live in, and their purpose or their meaning in life. We call it the three P's. And just think of what it's like to lose one of those. It's pretty devastating, and some people lose all three. So
And that's, tell us about the three P's.
the three P's are very important to getting your life back and reintegrating in the community. So people, connection, place, meaning a safe and inclusive space to be in, and purpose. That meaning that you might have lost along the way, because you've really been sick for a while, perhaps. That's how we created Sand Creek Connections. By using this model and filling in this gap, we were able to lure so many people into recovery. And at this point, I should really transition to Gabriel, who the clubhouse members who originally that we formed our clubhouse with hired Gabe. So, Gabe, would you like to step in?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like Don said, yeah, when I was applying for this job, I was interviewed by a team of members. And that kind of just shows the purpose that our members have in this clubhouse and what they can get. We want all the members to know that this is their clubhouse, that all the work and all the things that are needed for a clubhouse to function, won't be possible without them. And we believe that's where kind of the magic happens, is with that purposeful work. You get your, I'll go through the three P's again. You get your people, your healthy connections through the side-by-side work we do with the members. There's no hierarchy. Staff and members do exactly the same work. There's no like bossing people around. You get your place, a safe space where our members can continue to do the good work that they do with their therapists and continue that work in a real world setting and not just be isolated or kind of go back to bad habits. And then, in my opinion, most importantly, is that purpose where they get back into being engaged into the community, not only in the clubhouse, but like Don mentioned a while ago, we partner with a lot of different organizations and agencies in the community, because the end goal is we want the clubhouse to be a launching pad, not a landing strip for our members. We want our members to go on to do bigger and better things, which, it's been sad to see some of our members not show up anymore, but that's because they're living their lives now, which is our mission, though.
So there's a significant amount of healing that can take place through engagement of those three Ps: people, place, and purpose. It's not just a great idea, it is significant.
For sure. Yeah, I totally agree that with NAMI's mission of education, raising awareness, and advocacy, a big part of that is letting people know and us believing that recovery is possible, right? Don talked about how it is a health issue, not something that you can just kind of will away, but you have to work on it, right? You people have maybe an hour with their therapist or their CBRS or whoever provider, and that's great. But if they don't get the chance to actually put into practice what they need to work on, then most of the time, it's hard to kind of, it's kind of a you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing, right? We need to find a space where people can safely continue to work on themselves and grow in a healthy environment with other people that they feel, one, comfortable with and may share the same experience and be actively engaged with.
You know, when I first heard about the clubhouse in 2024, I think we had Don on to talk about it. I was thinking, how are you going to get the word out, first of all, and how is it going to transpire into that significant change in their lives, engaging them back into their lives? And it seems like you have been incredibly successful in moving forward in a good way to reach members. So why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of you can what has happened and how it has helped people. And it must be a big, deep sigh of relief. And geez, Don, you would know what this feels like to see that the person that you love that is struggling finds their way and is supported in that. It's like physical therapy for their life.
And we didn't have a club. We were our own clubhouse. We were underfunded and underqualified for sure. And it took about 10 years. This doesn't take as long, but just to interrupt for just a second, as far as our members go, one thing I found when we opened in November 2024 was people that come in there are independent, they're smart, they're funny, and they're so grateful. That feeling makes it all worth it. They are the most special people I've met. And some cool facts about Clubhouse, which I hate to say is more like a workhouse, is that we have 63 members and we're open 10 to 4 weekly, all week, and holidays where, people have somewhere to go. But anyway, I'll let Gabe continue with the rest.
Go back to your question there, Susie. It all started with our founders, of course. Don and all of our founders, they did the groundwork. They laid the foundation for us to get it to get the ball rolling. And then, of course, this amazing community that we have, different providers in the area. We started with and still have a memorandum of agreement with Kiniksu. We've gotten referrals from Bona General and all the, Sandpoint Psychotherapy and all the different providers in the area. So it was great to get the word out that way and get the ball rolling. But lately, what we've seen as well is the model kind of sells itself for, especially for our members. And that's what I see with the majority of our members coming in. Of course, it's hard for anybody, let alone somebody who is going through mental health issues. It's hard for somebody to go into a new place that you don't really know a lot of people, you're uncomfortable, don't really know what to expect. But after a while of that kind of feeling out shy period,
Jesus.
because of the level of warmth and welcoming of our other members and them being engaged with, hey, this person kind of gets what I went through, and we're working on something purposeful here. It's not just busy work, right? We're doing something that is benefiting not just myself, but other people. It quickly shows members that, hey, I'm not just here to, I'm not just here to hang out. I'm actually doing something that's very, very significant, very powerful for our community. So a lot of our recent referrals are actually from friends of our members, people that they know that, hey, maybe you would benefit from becoming a clubhouse too. I mean, obviously we still welcome any referrals, and we do still do get referrals from our different agencies and providers here in the area, but it's awesome to kind of see how it's grown from just that. And then, of course, a big part of the clubhouse work as well is community engagement. And it started with Don and I doing that a lot with community presentations, but that's another thing that we want our members to be engaged with. We've had a member before that w did really well with letting people know and giving his testimonial about what how he's been able to reclaim his life through the support that he's gotten. Right now he's busy doing his own thing, which is great, but we do have other members that are willing to do that as well. So we want, again, it's what everything that the clubhouse does, we want a member to be engaged with.
I think through your efforts of outreach, Don and Gabe, you have broken down the stigma of mental illness, a medical condition. And when people go, or your members go out into the community and talk, this is could be your neighbor. This could be, and you're breaking down that stigma, which is probably essential not only for our community, but for the individual that might be experiencing something like that. And that's another benefit to what you're doing. And I know having the clubhouse, I've heard about it through other sources and how wonderful it is, and some of the benefits that have come about. Do you want to talk any more about highlights from 2025 since you've been, a whole year plus now? So.
Yeah, definitely. Aside from the continued growth of our members, we're up to, like Don mentioned, 63 members now. We've improved on and kind of developed the programming itself. Recently, we had a visit from Alliance House. They are our mentor. That's where we trained last year for 2 weeks. They're from Salt Lake City, and they're a clubhouse that has been around for since the 80s, if I remember correctly. So they came for a post-training visit, and it was great. We got a lot of great feedback, a lot of things that we can continue to work on and enrich, the work order day and enrich the culture of our clubhouse. But it was also good for our members to hear that a different clubhouse, an established clubhouse, thinks that we're doing a great job. And I felt very happy, not only obviously for our program, but especially for our members, because, and I told them, this just reflects on what you guys are putting into the clubhouse. Because again, none of this is possible without you. So, creating that sense of ownership and purpose is very vital, and it's great to see that happening real time. So, aside from that, we want to keep continuing that momentum, and we want to continue diversifying, I guess, the program. We're exploring expanding our lunch program. We do prepare and serve lunch every day for our members here. Members prepare and serve each other, but we want to expand that to other people as well, that they're welcome to come in. We have a garden program that was a hit with our members last year. We want to make sure that, we want to try and develop that and make it bigger, possibly even sell produce in local farmers markets. So that's another thing we're looking at, and then continuing to partner with a lot of different organizations, like Dog Smile Adventures is one of them. And all the different awesome nonprofits in our area, to again, with that mission of being engaged with the community. And of course, The transitional employment program, that's another big thing and a big way we support members. We're trying to grow that as well. We are
How does that
I'm sorry.
work, the transitional employment program?
So what it is a program that's focused on helping members build their work stamina, their self-esteem, and confidence to get back into the workplace, right? And when you're in recovery, if you're discharged from the hospital or out of prison or just recovering, it's very hard to find that motivation or focus to pick up all the pieces. And sometimes, a lot of times, employment kind of goes to the back a little bit with all the other priorities that they have in mind. So that's where we kind of want to step in and be a bridge for our members to help them get back into to being members of the community that way in work is
So
we
you.
partner with local businesses. Our first partner was Talus Rock Bed and Breakfast, and they've been awesome. And we are just about to start a new one with Sandpoint Medical Massage and Body Works. So what we do is, so we let them know is we have people who are ready to go back to work and are looking for some part-time work to increase their work stamina, their get new skills and be paid. And we let them know that these are, sorry, go ahead.
So I was
You're
just
good.
going to say, part of the clubhouse is advocating for this employment. I wanted to just move on a little bit, Gabe, because an important part of any nonprofit organization is funding, and it's an ongoing, it never stops. I know I've been in nonprofit for 40 years, and so tell us about what you need and how folks who are listening to this interview can participate by support with support, financial support.
I mean, yeah, definitely our biggest need right now is help with becoming sustainable. We are always grateful for any kind of donations and leads for grants. Don and our grant writers have been amazing in working on that part of it. But there's a lot of uncertainty, as you know. There's a lot of uncertainty with that. So our main focus is trying to find sustainable ways of getting funding. So if anybody has a lead with that, definitely we would love to have a conversation and find out how we can make this sustainable for our members and moving forward, definitely. And then the next part of it, like you mentioned, is volunteering, getting involved. We, again, going back to the community engagement, we have had a couple of volunteers who have come fairly regularly, but we would welcome more, definitely. It just creates a lot of activity, energy for our clubhouse members that translates to more productivity in their work and their recovery. And another thing that we're trying to form is an advisory board where people can kind of lend their expertise to help us continue to improve. So it's about a commitment of about 3 to 5 hours every 2 months to have that advisory board.
Well, it sounds like there's also ways to get involved on an advisory board, so volunteers and funding. And we might as well throw out right now, if people are listening, you can probably go to the website at namifarnorth.org. That's namifarnorth.org. There's probably a donate button right there. And there's upcoming events that people can function in and participate in. So, Don, did you want to? We have about 9 minutes left, so.
Oh, we won't need that much, but what I would like to say is that yes, we give people, place, and purpose to our members. And we call the fourth P payment because we're serving people that are vulnerable in the economic world. They don't have the financials to pay for a clubhouse, so it needs to be free. And that is, with our government not funding mental health right now, we have a whole quarter of our funding that is not going to be taken care of. So that's a huge problem for looking at the next few years. Okay, moving right along. Money is a yucky topic, isn't it?
Well, I think that money is magical when people's hearts are involved, because we are a community and we do care about anyone that is suffering and wanting to get back into the world. And it sounds like Clubhouse and NAMI Far North is doing that for many people in our community. So upcoming events, right?
Yeah, so upcoming, we have our community health forum. It's Wednesday, March 18th, and we're going to have Ethan Murray Fund's Matt Connery show his slides. They were shown in December at the Heartwood. So if you missed it, it's about his 1,200-kilometer trek across Canada's Great Divide Trail with his grizzly bear encounters, which was fun to listen to. I would never do this trail after listening to it. Raising $20,000 for local therapy access in this town. So that's March 18th, 5:30 to 6:30 at the VFW on Pine and Division. And then we have a family class. This is our signature education class. It's starting at the end of March and it goes through April. And part of May for there's two different classes. So if you're interested, please, please call us. It's free. And we go through things like understanding mental illness, diagnosis, treatment, recovery, communication and coping skills for caregivers, problem solving, resources and support system. And it's led by NAMI trained family members with these lived experiences. And the benefits are that we have this shared understanding. We have this reduced shame and guilt, increased hope, and a sense of community. I really like this class.
It sounds like, regardless of your connection to anyone that might have a medical illness called mental illness, it would be worth being part of that. So, contact information again, do you want to give that, Dawn, or should I?
Go for it.
Okay, so there, you have a website. It's a very significant website, namifarnorth.org. That's NAMI farnorth.org. Or you can email at info@namifarnorth.org. And the phone number is 208-597-2047. And I just want to say two things. Well, three things. Thank you, Dawn, for seeing the need and providing and building and creating this service organization that it will serve our families not only now and our individuals in our community, people we care about, not only now but into the future. You've established it as a strong and needed organization. I also want to thank Gabe for stepping in and taking care of Clubhouse and being the program director and probably being a very kind person in that role. And also, I want to thank NAMI Far North for being a underwriter here at KRFY, which, you know, we love partnering with our nonprofits in our community because we are also a nonprofit. So thank you for that. And you probably each have about a minute to say one last thing.
Go ahead, Gabe.
Well, thank you, Susie, for having us. It's always good to, talk about the NAMI's mission and the clubhouse as well. So we appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, for anybody who's listening, who's interested in all different levels of, maybe they have somebody they know that could benefit from being a member, or they're just interested in becoming a volunteer, or even advisory board and, funding. Again, if anybody is interested in being involved, please feel free to contact myself or Don. We'd love to have a chat about it.
I'll just say thank you to Susie and KRFY, but also our community for believing in us and trusting the program was going to work. That was a big dive that everyone had to take. I really appreciate our community.
I have to say, when I first heard about your endeavor to establish Clubhouse, I thought, oh, a fun place to go. But the reality is that it is vital to someone's human life and moving forward in their life in a way that, they may be the person that makes a huge difference in someone else's life eventually, which they will. We all do. So the work you're doing is vital and unbelievably important. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm proud that we met
Yeah.
our grant output is 45% employment, and I'm really proud to say that yes, it's a clubhouse, but it's actually a workhouse. They just nobody knows it except for me. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, folks, thank you so much again, Dawn Mara, President of the Board of NAMI Far North, and Gabe Custodio, Program Director of the Clubhouse and NAMI Far North. So thank you for
Thank
joining us
you.
today.
Thank
Bye,
you, Sydney.
Stacy. Take care.